Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep into jacked breaks in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is not just to slice up a classic jungle break. We're going to turn that break into a rewind wordy drop weapon, the kind of phrase that feels alive, speaks back to the bass, and makes people do that involuntary run it back face. We're aiming for old school D&B and jungle energy, but with a modern edge. So think recognizable break identity, aggressive but musical chops, ghost notes, tension, and a bass line that leaves space instead of crowding the drums. That balance is what makes a drop hit hard and still feel DJ-friendly. Start by choosing a break with character. Something like an Amen-style break, a Think-style break, or any gritty funk break with a strong snare and some natural movement. Drag it into an audio track, and set your tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. That range gives you the proper D&B push without making the groove feel rushed. Now open the clip and enable warp. For this kind of work, beats mode is usually the best starting point because it handles transients nicely and keeps the break punchy. Don't overdo the warp marker cleanup. The point is to tighten the break, not sterilize it. If the break has dust, air, and a little wobble, that's part of the energy. Keep that life in there. A really useful move here is to duplicate the break clip. Keep one version fairly natural for body and realism, and make a second version that you can chop more aggressively. That way you can layer structure with controlled chaos later, instead of trying to make one single version do everything. Next, slice the break to a new MIDI track. This is where Ableton Live 12 makes the process fast and very playable. You can slice by transient if you want a natural drum feel, or by grid if you want a more structured starting point. For advanced jungle chopping, I like to think in layers. One drum rack can hold the core hits, kick, snare, ghost snare, hat, maybe the crash tail. Then another layer can handle the micro chops, like stutters, reverse tails, and tiny accent hits. Rename your pads right away. That sounds boring, but it saves your brain later. Kick, snare, ghost one, hat, fill, reverse tail. Keep it clear. If you want to process hits individually, route important pads to separate chains. Then later, group the whole rack into a drum bus so you can glue it all together. Now build the first two bars as a phrase, not just a loop. This is the big mindset shift. Don't think, how do I make a drum pattern repeat? Think, how does this break say something, answer itself, and reset? In jungle and D&B, the snare is often the anchor. It's the moment the listener locks onto. So let the snare remain recognizable while the space around it mutates. A strong starting shape is simple. Bar 1 gives you the statement, and bar 2 gives you the response. In bar 1, let the break hit with confidence, maybe with one or two ghost notes after the snare. Then in bar 2, leave a bit more space, maybe pull back one kick, and use the end of the bar for a tighter fill or pickup. That little shift in energy makes the loop feel like it's moving forward, even when it repeats. If you're building a longer drop, think in phrases of 4 or 8 bars. For example, the first two bars can introduce the chop pattern, then the next two bars can add bass counterrhythm, then maybe you remove one kick and add a snare flam, and by the end of the 8 bars you've got a turnaround fill leading back into the loop. That's how you keep the drop from feeling static. Now let's talk groove. This is where the soul lives. Select your MIDI notes and shape the velocity contrast carefully. Main hits should be strong, somewhere in the 105 to 127 range if the sample responds that way. Ghost notes should live much lower, maybe 35 to 70, depending on the sound. That contrast is what makes the break feel played instead of programmed. Also, don't be afraid of tiny timing differences. Push a ghost hat slightly late, or nudge a pickup kick a hair early. We're talking milliseconds, not sloppy drifts. The goal is subtle human variation. Old school D&B often feels amazing because it isn't perfectly symmetrical. It's tight, but it breathes. If you want some controlled swing, use the groove pool very lightly. Keep it subtle, maybe around 10 to 25% swing at most. And be careful not to swing the snare too much, because the snare is your anchor. If you overswing the anchor, the whole thing can lose its forward thrust. A small amount of movement goes a long way here. A really nice advanced trick is to duplicate a ghost note or a short accent and lower its velocity. That tiny double hit can make the phrase feel like it's exhaling. Those little details are the difference between a pattern and a performance. Now bring in the bass, but build it around the break, not over it. In this style, the bass is not supposed to be constantly talking. It's supposed to answer. Use a clean sub layer, maybe operator or wave editable with a sine or triangle wave, mono and centered. Keep the sub mostly below 100 to 120 Hz. If you want a bit of movement between notes, add a subtle glide, but keep it restrained. The sub should feel solid and focused. Then add a mid-bass layer, maybe a reese or a modulated bass with some saturation and controlled width. Don't let it fight the snare. Filter it so it sits above the sub and leaves room for the drum transients. You want aggression in the mids, not mush in the low end. The key here is call and response. Let the bass hit after a snare accent. Leave space before a fill so the fill lands harder. If the break is busy in bar 2, thin the bass there. In DNB, density only works when the elements are taking turns. If everything fills every subdivision, the groove collapses into noise. But if the drums and bass answer each other, the drop gets bigger. Once the MIDI pattern feels strong, resample it. This is where the composition starts becoming more like editing a performance. Route the drum bus to a new audio track and record a clean 2-bar pass. Then start cutting tiny sections, duplicating them for stutters, reversing a tail or a crash for suction, and using fade handles so the edits stay smooth and musical. This is a great moment to create signature gestures. Maybe a half-beat snare repeat. Maybe a quick kick double before the loop resets. Maybe a reversed room tail into the next bar. Those moments are small, but they're what make the phrase memorable. Ableton's stock tools are perfect here. Use Simpler to retrigger a resampled phrase. Use Beach Repeat for controlled glitch bursts. Use Echo for a short smear or pre-delay on the last hit before the drop lands again. You don't need a ton of processing. You just need the right edits in the right place. Now shape the drum bus. Don't individually overcook every hit unless you have a very specific reason. Group the break and drum layers together, then process the bus. AQ8 can clean up low rumble or a little boxiness in the 200 to 400 Hz area. Saturator can add density with just a few dB of drive. Glue compressor can add cohesion, but keep it gentle. Slow attack, medium release, and just enough compression to hold things together without flattening the transient snap. If you use drum bus, be careful. It can be amazing for grit and crack, but too much drive will blur the groove. The goal is punch first, texture second. If the snare starts sounding smaller after processing, back off and simplify. In darker DNB, clarity is what makes the weight feel bigger. Now think about arrangement energy, because this is what turns a loop into a rewind-worthy drop. The 2-bar chop is your core, but the section needs a shape over time. So maybe bars 1 and 2 are the main chopped break and sub. Bars 3 and 4 add a top loop or ride layer. Bars 5 and 6 make the bass more active or remove one kick. Bars 7 and 8 strip things down a little and set up a turnaround fill. Automation helps a lot here. Open a filter gradually. Throw a bit of reverb on a snare fill at the end of a phrase. Use echo on a last snare hit to create a little tail that spills into the next section. Or automate a crash or noise layer with auto filter so the motion feels intentional. If you want a rewind moment, negative space is your friend. Pull the bass out for a beat. Drop the top percussion for half a bar. Let one accented snare or crash land after that gap. Often, that tiny absence creates more impact than just making everything louder. People rewind the moment that feels like it bent the room a little. There are a few common mistakes to watch for. One is overslicing the break until it loses identity. Keep at least one recognizable snare placement or break gesture. Another is putting bass on every subdivision. That usually kills the space and makes the drop feel smaller. Also, don't overswing everything. A little swing is good. Too much makes the snare lose authority. Heavy bus compression is another trap. If the drums lose their snap, you've gone too far. And always keep an eye on the low end. Sub and kick need to cooperate, not wrestle. Keep the sub mono, and if necessary, shorten the kick tail or carve a little space with EQ. Here are a few pro-level ideas that really help in darker or heavier DNB. Layer 1 dirty break with a cleaner support break underneath. The dirty break gives attitude, and the cleaner layer keeps the transients readable. Use small clip gain edits when only one hit is too hot. Don't solve every balance issue with compression. That's a fast way to flatten the personality. Also, automate distortion in the bass mids, not the sub. You can push the 150 to 800 Hz area for aggression, while keeping the low end clean and solid, and use ghost notes like emotional punctuation. A tiny hat tick or quiet snare after the main hit can make the pattern feel much more human and alive. A great exercise is to build three versions of the same 2-bar idea. First, a classic jungle pressure version with a recognizable break and a simple sub. Second, a darker modern roller with fewer obvious break gestures, tighter edits, and a more restrained bass rhythm. Third, a rewind bait version with one dramatic dropout and a bar end barrage or a reverse hit. When you compare them, ask yourself which hit feels like the main character, where the silence is most effective, and whether the bass supports the break or competes with it. Here's the big takeaway. Treat the break as composition, not just percussion. Slice with intention. Build call and response. Keep the sub mono and selective. Use ghost notes and micro edits to give the pattern life. Process the drum boss for punch, not blur. And arrange with tension, release, and little moments of surprise. If your chop pattern feels like it could make someone turn back to the DJ booth and ask for it again, you're doing it right. That's the energy. That's the rewind-worthy drop. Now go build it, print it, listen back, and let the break start talking.